So, thank you, Chris. Good morning. So part of the DNA of Here's Hope Church is this is family. You know, it's not a club. It's not, an institution. It's family. And so as family, there is freedom. You know, if you're hanging out with family in the living room and you got to go to the bathroom, it's totally okay. Nobody's calling you out on it. So there's freedom to do that. If you need something to drink, you don't have to sit and suffer. There's back here, there's a little refrigerator. Grab some water. Make yourself at home. So this, sometimes we call this the family room. And it is. It's really cool. So, you know, if you're at home hanging out in the family room and there's some kids there just being kids, that is not a problem, right? So babies will be babies, kids will be kids, old people like me will be old people. And that's all okay. So, don't worry about it. Nobody's uptight about that. We're all just hanging out as family today and here together. So after the service, we will have an egg hunt outside for the kids. But I have a surprise for you, and then I'm going to pray. So let's go ahead and, Josh, could you, and George, yeah, get the men who are helping you with that. So the men, they're going to pass something back and forth here. It's not offering plates. We don't do that. That is not part of who we are, usually. Just us. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we have a gift for you. And so I'm going to explain this as the guys hand these out and pass them. If you just... You're going to take one for every person, for the littles, for the adults, for everybody, every age. Everybody can get one of these gifts. Please don't open them yet. Hang on to them for a minute. And I do want to tell you that what's inside, don't try to eat it. It won't go well. And don't let your little ones try to eat it either. They might get confused about this. Don't let them. It's not candy. It is not candy. So the guys are going to pass these around. Everybody get one. So it's nothing edible. If you are lactose intolerant or gluten-free, no worries. It's nothing, as long as you don't try to eat it, you're good. So we'll give the guys a minute here to do that. We're so glad you're here today. He is risen. Amen. Just copying Brad. That's Amen. Amen. It is so good. You know, whether you are here for the first time or here every week, we're just glad to see a lot of smiling faces. We really believe in prayer, that God hears our prayers. And one of our prayers every week is, Jesus, you invite who you want to invite. You bring who you want to bring. So everybody who dons those doors, everybody who comes in here, we firmly believe Jesus has brought that person. He invited them. He knows why. I don't necessarily. But we're just glad that you're here today. Now, if I were going to be at a church service, at a gathering of the church, like one Sunday out of the year, this would be my Sunday. You know, I would be here today. So I'm with you. If this is like, this is your Sunday, you know, this is out of the year, amen. So because we're celebrating something truly amazing today, we're celebrating something magnificent and wondrous and worth celebrating, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so... hang on to these for just a minute. Let's pray. Actually, you know what? Let's open these first, then we'll pray. Because I know it's killing you. You're just wondering what in the world's in this thing. So, okay, so if we can open that up. Yeah, that's for you to keep. That's for you to keep. And I'm just going to ask you, I mean, you know, you look around and you see faces this morning that you are familiar with. You see faces you're not familiar with. But I'm going to ask you this morning, I want you to guess, who came to church this morning?
Jesus.
Jesus, right. Jesus came to church this morning. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, look at Revelation chapter 1. But let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. What a joy to be here today with the gathering of your family, the gathering of the church of the living God. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be intentional in acknowledging you, to worship you, to bow our lives before you, Lord, to be impacted by you and changed as we worship you. Lord, thank you so much for the resurrection of your Son. Thank you for the good news Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son from the throne room of heaven to come into this messy, broken world, to wear a crown of thorns and to go to a cross in our place, to die for our sins, Lord. And thank you that because he is God, he did not stay dead. Thank you, Lord, that he is greater than death. Thank you, Lord, that death is defeated and that Jesus is victorious. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in his name and in faith in him, we have eternal life. And thank you, Lord, that as we wait on his return, we are not alone. Amen. That you are with us today, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so this is yours to keep. You can do with that what you want other than eat it. That's the only thing I'm just asking. Please don't do that. So, well, happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. You know, there are many times leading up to the cross, leading up to the resurrection, that Jesus told his disciples again and again and again in so many ways that he was going to go to the cross, that he would be in that grave, and that he would rise again. And he told them that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Some of these things there are not slides for. Don't worry about that. Check it out in the Word of God for yourself. You know, Jesus said that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be lifted up that everyone who believes in him would have eternal life, speaking of the cross. And so he kept giving this foreshadowing, telling his disciples what he was going to do. Jesus said, the reason my Father loves me is that I'm going to lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I receive from the Father. Yes. You know, even though Jesus told these disciples again and again about his crucifixion and his burial, they were brokenhearted. I mean, I'm sure some of you have experienced loss and grief, and you understand, even in a situation, sometimes it happens unexpectedly, losing a loved one, sometimes you know it's coming. You know, there's an illness or something, and it doesn't change things. You know, even though you know it's coming, there is just a weightiness to death. There's a downcastness. And these disciples, even though they'd been told about Jesus' death and resurrection, they were crushed. When he was in that grave, I mean, their hopes and dreams, I mean, they were devastated. They were in despair. So if you look in your Bibles, please, let's turn to Luke 24 for a minute. We'll get to Revelation 1 here in a few minutes, but if we turn to Luke chapter 24, there's Bibles in the pews there if you don't have one. This tells us about that first Easter morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. In verse 9, it says that these women, they were so excited that they went and they told his disciples, and they didn't believe them. Verse 11 says that they did not believe. They didn't receive that testimony. But in verse 12, it says that Peter ran to the tomb. And we know from John's gospel account that John also ran. John happened to mention that he outran Peter. But they got there and they found out that what the women had said was true, that the tomb was empty, just as the women had said. And the text says here that Peter wondered what had happened. Well, he'd been told what was going to happen, but he's wondering about this empty tomb. If you turn for a moment, please, to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see what happens next. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 3. The Apostle Paul gives us a what's next for the disciples. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Paul saying, listen, you can go. Doubters and skeptics, you can go. There are hundreds of people who saw the living Christ, and you can go talk to them. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And then Paul says, and at last he appeared to me also as one abnormally born, one born later spiritually than the others. After his resurrection, it wasn't just about an empty tomb. It was about a risen Christ. Jesus physically, bodily appeared. He was present with his disciples and he hung out with them. And even though they were wrestling with doubts and fears when they saw Jesus and they realized he's back, just like he said, joy, hope, peace, confidence, just overwhelming all those doubts and all those fears, knowing Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. You know, Jesus' resurrection, there was so much wrapped up in that. And his presence there with them, it showed them that God is a God that when he promises something, he delivers. You know, trying to put myself in place of these disciples. I know, seeing Jesus do these great miracles, healing people and doing awesome things. But when he says, they're going to crucify me, I'm going to be dead in a tomb, and then I'm coming back. And even though I know it's Jesus saying that, there'd have to be part of me that would wrestle perhaps with some doubts. And when Jesus appeared to them and they saw him physically there with them, they realized, you know what, no matter how much I don't understand the promises of God, no matter how much the promises of God seem impossible to me, God delivers on what he says. Amen. God is a God who has the power to keep his words. He's the author of life and he is greater than death. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And he is with us. He is always with his disciples. Ever since Pentecost, Jesus said, I will be with you and in you, and he is. He's with his church today. Jesus is here right now with his people. So here we are in the present, 2,000 years later. People all around the world are gathered to celebrate the resurrection, to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the fact that Jesus is more than a human being. Fully human, but he is so much more than a great philosopher or a great teacher or social justice activist or whatever people would try to make him into. He's certainly my friend, and I'm so glad. I mean, there's times I need a spiritual warm fuzzy, and Jesus gives that to me. I'm so glad for that. And there are times that I'm crying out to him for a feeling of safety when I don't have it, or a feeling of assurance or comfort. But I have to confess, those are not his highest priorities a lot of times. Many times in my flesh, I want to make Jesus into somebody who's a lot like that little figurine. I want to make Jesus into somebody that I can manage, that I can control, that I can wrap my mind around, that I can maybe sit on a bookshelf when I've got a different agenda for the day and I don't really have time for his agenda. But the real Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, he demands more of me than that. He demands more than just casual interest. He demands my worship every day. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation 1, if you're not there yet. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 9, the Apostle John wrote this. He was on the island of Patmos. He was a disciple that was an intimate friend of Jesus. Knew Jesus very well. At this point, he's probably the last of the apostles who were left. And John, because of his powerful testimony of the gospel message, has been exiled to this island. Starting in verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, Jesus, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and he said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades." This morning, let's recognize a few characteristics of the real Jesus. First of all, Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. I am the first and the last. In verse 8 of the same chapter, we read that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He's saying, "I am A to Z, and I am everything in between." That he existed before time, he existed before space, he existed before matter. He existed before anything was created, that the Son of God always was. He is eternal in respect to the past. He is eternal in respect to the future. Jesus is eternal. The second thing to recognize this morning from the text, Jesus also had an earthly life. Jesus had an earthly life. He said, "I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever." It's extraordinary. He says, "I was dead." How can the eternal one die? It's what we celebrate at Christmas time. The Word made flesh, God becoming human. The Eternal One, the Word of God coming and dwelling among people, God taking on a human body. Why did he do that? To rescue us. To save us. The Bible says that God is spirit. How do you nail a spirit to a cross? So Jesus took on flesh so that he could take our place. So that he could take all of our sins upon himself and take on the wrath of God on the cross for us. Jesus had an earthly existence, but he is also eternal God. So when he was taken down from that cross and he was placed in that tomb, he did not stay there. He says, "I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever." That is awesome news. That is awesome news. That means that death, the great enemy that mankind is in fear of, death is defeated ultimately once and for all by Jesus Christ. Power of Satan is broken so that you and I can have faith in Jesus Christ and we can share in his victory. It is awesome. We can receive that life. We can receive that forgiveness, that grace from him. Jesus had an earthly life. What else do we see about Jesus here? Well, Jesus has all authority. Amen. Jesus has all authority. He said, "I hold the keys to death and Hades." Yeah. He's saying, "I have authority over the realms that you are the most scared of." The two realms that seem the most entirely out of control from mankind, who is so obsessed with control, he says, "I've got you. I hold the keys to death and to Hades." And one of the things that's been happening around here a lot, there's a lot of activity. We've been doing some updating in the basement and some other areas, and part of that, we're putting some new doorknobs on, some new keys for different areas, and we've got a position, a place here in the building where we've got keys for everything. Jesus is saying, "I have all keys." I have all keys. He's saying, my power is such that nowhere can shut me out. Even death can't shut me out. Even the realm of the dead can't shut me out. No country can shut Jesus out. No heart can shut Jesus out. He has all authority and all power. In John 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus is the only person that could possibly speak that and fulfill it. Jesus is the only one who could back that up. Let's make it personal for a minute. Not to be too grim on a joyful day, but you know, all of us have an expiration date. You know, we are born into this world with an expiration date. Every person is going to die. And the Word of God says that there is a time coming for each person when they die that you will stand before the one who holds the keys to death and Hades and heaven. You're going to stand before the one who you can't ignore anymore. You can't control. You can't deny anymore. So you've got freedom in this life. In this life, He gives you free will, and you can do with Him what you will. But when that moment comes, there's no out. It doesn't matter whether you say you're an atheist. It doesn't matter whether you have your justifications and objections. It doesn't matter whether you were baptized. It doesn't matter whether you were Hindu. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You will stand before Him alone. Yes. And either at that moment He is your Savior or He is your judge. Come on. You know, in this life, we treat Jesus like that little figurine sometimes. Maybe I'll pay attention to Jesus later. There's a time coming, you don't know when that is, when that option's not going to exist for you. You're going to stand before Him and fall as though you were dead. And He's going to decide which door He's opening, whether that's the door to heaven or hell, which one you're going to go through. It is not enough to just believe in your head that Jesus lived. It's not enough to even believe that He went to a cross. It's not enough to even believe that He rose from the dead or that He is the Christ. The Bible says you have to personally believe in Jesus. You have to trust Him. Trust Him for what?
Everything.
Everything. But first and foremost, salvation. You know, you have got to admit you need His forgiveness. You've got to admit that you, before a holy God, have no standing before Him. You've got to acknowledge the fact that apart from Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross, you are not okay with God. I mean, you may be a lot better than me. I wouldn't doubt it. That's not going to get you into heaven. You have to forsake your pride. You have to forsake your effort. You have to forsake morality. You have got to fall before the feet of Jesus in faith and receive what He did for you on that cross. He came to save you. When you do that, you can have assurance that when you die, He's going to keep His word. And you will stand before Him forgiven and free and loved and welcomed into heaven. Fourth and last thing for us to recognize this morning, Jesus came to church today. Jesus came to church today. Verse 19, write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this: the seven stars are the angels or messengers or perhaps pastors of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Again, verse 13 says, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. God's telling us Jesus is present with His church.
Yes.
Excuse me. Jesus is here for a lot of reasons today. He's here to encourage you. Anybody need encouraged? You can ask, and he'll deliver. He is here to encourage you today. He is also here to correct you. Anybody else need corrected? I sure do. I get in the ditch all the time. It's a bad place. I don't want to be there. Lord, keep me on the road. Take the wheel. He's here to cleanse today. If you were walking around with some shame or guilt, he can wash that away. It's yours for the asking. He's here to comfort today. Anybody else maybe a little discouraged or grieving or lonely?
Yeah.
He's here to deal with that. He's here to commission us. He has work for us to do. He's here not only to minister to you and me, he's here to minister to other people through you and me today. If you've not trusted yet in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to speak to you for a minute. Jesus has a gift for you today.
Yes, amen.
A gift of forgiveness. A gift of life. But you have to respond to him. You know, gift doesn't do you any good if you don't receive it. You have to accept that gift. There's an allegory of a man, a story of a man who was walking along a cliff edge. And he slipped over the side. And when he slipped over the side, there were some branches or roots, something sticking out there out of the rock. And he grabbed a hold just in time. And he's holding on to it. And he's started screaming out for help. And this powerful, mighty, radiant angel appeared. And the angel said to the man, he said, "Do you believe that I can help you?" And the man said, "I do." He looked at the power of this angel, you know, biceps bigger than my legs. You know, I mean, this angel was just like, "Oh yeah, I believe you could save me." And he looked at the angel and he saw kindness and compassion and love. And he said, "Do you believe that I will?" He said, "I do. I believe you'll save me." And the angel said, "Well, if you believe that I can save you and you believe I will save you, let go. Let go." Some of us are here today or maybe watching online and we need saved. We're hanging over the cliff and we've just got a hold of that. You can't hold on forever. And it is really a difficult thing, but you have to let go. If you are going to lay hold of Jesus, if you're going to trust in him, you got to let go of pride. You got to let go of self. I don't know what he's going to tell you you need to let go of, but you need to let go and grab hold of him by faith. It is a transfer of trust. Whatever you're trusting in other than Jesus to be okay with God, let go of it. Let go of it. Lay hold of Jesus. He's inviting you to share in his resurrection, to take your place in his family. I invite you to pray with me. And if you're here today and you would like to put your faith in Jesus, it's not about the words, it's about what's in your heart. That's what he's looking at. But I want to just help give you some words perhaps to speak what's in your heart. You can say something like, "Jesus, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I believe that you died for my sins. And so in faith, Jesus, I turn to you and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive you as the one who bore my sins on that cross, who came to rescue me from myself, who took the wrath of God in my place. And I invite you to come into my life and forgive me and make me new. Lord Jesus, help me to follow you. Help me to walk today in joy and belonging to you. Help me learn what it is to be a follower. Heavenly Father, for all of us today, thank you that your Son is alive. Thank you that wherever we go, we don't have to walk around this world searching for holy places necessarily to say, I'm looking for Jesus, because he's with us wherever we go. But Father, we confess sometimes we get so fleshly and so caught up in ourselves. And so Lord, help us to see the presence of Christ in our life and help us to hear his voice and to follow his lead and to recognize him. Help us to walk out in faith and obedience every day who Christ is to us. Lord Jesus, we invite you to be everything you came to be in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful, amazing resurrection day to celebrate who you are. Thank you, Lord, that even though we have your presence in the person of the Holy Spirit, we have your promise that you are coming back. Lord Jesus, we are excited for that day. We're excited to see you face to face. We're so excited, Lord, to celebrate being in your radiance and in your glory and all sin removed forever and ever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.